Today's Mishnah, Masechet Nega'im, is Perek Rishon, Mishnah Beit. Now, yesterday we discussed the two Avot and the two Toladot. The two Avot were the Baheret and the Se'it, and the two Toladot were the Sapachat, which is put right smack bang in the middle, in the Torah, between the Baheret and the Se'it. So Baheret, Sapachat, or Se'it. And because of that, we learn out that there is a Sapachat, that is to say, a secondary Mare to a Baheret, and a secondary Mare to a Se'it. So according to Rabbi Meir, this was very strange. He understood that the two Avot act differently than we normally look at Avot, and that the two Avot are actually the most extreme Marot, so that what it's saying is, basically what the Torah is telling us is, look, there are extreme differences. How do I know they're extreme differences? Maybe they're just two Marot. No, says Rabbi Meir beautifully. Because since the Sapachat occurs between the Baheret and the Se'it, and since the Sapachat would refer both to the Baheret and the Se'it, so basically what the Torah is doing is saying, look, you can go anywhere you want, from a Baheret to a Se'it, but realize that there are two clear steps between the maximal Baheret, which means bright, like Keshaleg, and the Se'it, which means something that is much higher looking against its background than the Baheret is, and add two Marot in between. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, what the Torah has basically told us here is not only that there are two Marot, but that those two Marot are split according to the four first Dargot that people would be able to identify as being a different level of white without needing to put them one against the other. Now, anybody who has attempted to identify the white paint on his wall without a color chart, and he walks into a paint store and he thinks that he's buying the white, will very quickly realize that there were 15 different whites between the white that he selected and the white that was actually on his wall. So this is a very subtle kind of thing, which we lose track of if we're not able to look at the chart and contrast them one with the other. So it's a very meaningful thing that the Torah is saying. Give me four whites that people will in general be able to distinguish between without looking at a color chart. And that gives us the distance between the Baheret and the Se'it, according to Rabbi Meir, which is just lovely. So therefore, we start all the way, according to Rabbi Meir, we start all the way with the Baheret. And therefore, according to him, we've got the most white, which is the Shelek. And then we go all the way down to the bottom, and we move to the Krum Beitzah. And then in the middle, we have the two levels. That's the part we didn't quite understand, why he has the next level up as being the Baheret's Sapacha, the Toldo de Baheret, and then the next level up after that, which is further away from the Se'et, which is the Sid HaYechal, the Tzemer Lavan, that he holds is Nogea the Se'et. So, okay. But anyway, that's his shita. We'll have to, as we go along, we're going to see whether we can understand it better. In any event, the Chachamim say no. It's basically two maximals, which are the Baheret followed by the Se'et. So that means we have Sheleg, and then we have the Tzemer Lavan, and then it is two secondaries. The secondary of the Baheret, which is the Sid HaYechal, and the secondary of the Se'et, which is the lowest of all, which is the Krum Beitzah, not the Se'it itself being the Krum Beitzah. So today, we learn that that was only part of the story, because the Torah also adds a completely different color, which we call in the Lashon of the Mishnah and the Gemara, Patuch. Patuch means that it is a mixture of a reddened color as well. And that's because the Torah also talks about a Baheret Livana Adam Damet. So Memela, what you see from there is that even if it's mixed with Adom, so it's like a more pinkish color because it has red mixed in it, that's also considered to be a type of a Baharis. Now, even though that occurs in the Parsha of Shechin, but we learn out that it's true, all of the Maros are the same, and this is, we go through the drushes in the Sifra, that all of the Maros, whether we're talking about in Shechin or we're talking about indirectly in the Ora Adam, are the same. And because of that, there is a new Darga of Patuch on all four of the Toldos and Ovis. So that gives us now 8 Marot. And what are the differences between the level of the Patuch? So HaPatuch Shepasheleg, so if you're talking about the mixture of red that would be in a Baheret, which is Azar Kasheleg, and it has a certain amount of blood, so to speak, or yayin, what we're going to use as the way in which we mix things. So the Patuch Shabbat Sheleg should be looked at as wine that is mixed in actual snow. Patuch Shabbat Seed is like blood that's mixed into milk. So it's actually much darker. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says no. There's no difference what we do. What you're talking about is basically you are changing the relationship of the white and the red. That's not what we do. We start off with always neutral colors of red. Now the question is how much red? Then we talk about mixing it. So we talk about mixing in water, which does not have any white in it. We determine the amount of red that we have by the number of the mixture of the red, by the amount of red that we're mixing in water. And then when we mix it into the sheleg or we mix it into the seed, then we get a completely different look. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the adamdam shebezeh shebezeh, remember that the patuch is always called adamdam. That's for sure. And therefore, it's always going to be a color that starts mixed in water. So it's kiyayin hamazug b'mayim. What we're talking about is mixing into water, not into something white. And if you mix into water, so then you get a very clear red color, and it's not wiped out by the coloration of the supposed milk that you were putting it into, or the coloration of the snow that you're putting it into. The difference is that the patuch on sheleg, sheleg is azah. So it's very, very sharp and clear, whereas the seed is not as bright, and instead it is darker than you would have if you were mixing it with sheleg. Now, the truth is that the Rambam has very interesting shita about this, and we'll be talking about it more later. But according to the Rambam, I think the way to look at it is that the sharpness of the color is basically the same idea when it comes to the coloration of the white or the coloration of the red. So that when you're talking about the idea of how much you would put in, we'll see later on that we can actually talk about the number of drops that you would put in to the mixture and what would be more powerful, not more dark, but what would be the more powerful red similar to what would be the more powerful white. Whereas if you're looking at it in terms of the brightness of the Baharat, you would be saying less drops in Baharat and more drops in Seit as you go down. So we'll get to that machlokas later. Now, Mishnah Gimel. So we now have 4 + 4 marot. We call them 4 marot because since we use the same lashon of the Baharat or the Sa'id and so on, we just call it Patuch Sheba Baharat or Patuch Sheba Sa'id. So the idea is that these marot are basically exactly the same lahalokha. And therefore, do not make the mistake of thinking that when it says in the pasuk, "Vehi cheha," or "Vehine lo cheha hanega," that you think that that might mean that the coloration of the nega did not switch let's say, from a baheret to a sapachat, right? Wrong. Because there is absolutely zero interest that we have in determining whether something is a baheret or a sa'et or a sapachat, or if it's changed from one to the other. And if, let's say, that a krum beitza suddenly sees, the Kohen comes on the seventh day after Hezger, and he suddenly sees that the krum beitza has turned into a baheret, oh my gosh, then that should be a simen tuma. Nonsense. It's a no change whatsoever. If he comes at the end of Shivas Yomim and he sees that the mara of the nega has dropped from the mara of a baheret to the mara of a sida hechal or of a krum beitza, no difference whatsoever. Once something is defined, it's defined exactly in the same way, no matter how its color changes or no matter how many variations in color there are within the same gris. So as I explained to you yesterday, the only point of making these distinctions is to establish the clarity of the Kohen's making the determination of Tumah V'Tahirah to be based on an understanding of the Diyukim and the Psukim of Baheret and Sapachat and Se'et and Adamdamet. So it's a way in which we insist that you need to be mechuber to the drasha of the Pasuk in order to come up with the Tumah V'Tahirah on the Nega. It is not a definition of different types of Nega. So this is a completely counterintuitive way of understanding the Pasuk. In which case, yeah?
Rebbe is following that the Rambam Shita, as opposed to other Shitas that told us say or not mitzvah.
I haven't finished.
Okay.
Arba'a mar'ot ha'elu mitzvahim ze im ze. So these four mar'ot are considered to be the same for all and every purpose. Meaning, whether it's talking about liftor, whether it's talking about lahachlit, whether it's talking about lahasgir, so it makes absolutely no difference when it comes to the question of our understanding of whether there is a change in the nega that allows us to say, oh, now we can make it tahar, or whether there's a change in a nega in pisoyon or anything else, and we'll say, now we're machli, or whether it's a question of lahazgir, as we'll see in a moment, the details of lahazgir, all of those things are exactly the same and makes no difference whatsoever, and therefore they're mitztarfim ze im ze. So that would mean that all of the maras that we're mentioning are all mitztarfim ze im ze. Now, there is another girsa, but it's a different girsa and requires a change in how to read the Mishnah. So the girsa that we have is arba marota elo mitztarfim. There are some Rishonim who have a different girsa, and that's the sheet of the Ravid. And it's followed by some of the Mefarshim HaMishnah, like the Rash, in which the Lashon of the Mishnah is not Arba Marota Elo, but rather Me Arba Am Marota Elo Mitztarfim Ze Im Ze, which would mean, which is a very strange way of saying it, you must admit, that an Av and its Tolda, or the two Avot, would be Mitztarfim Ze Im Ze. So that if you have partially a Nega that is of one color and partially of another color, so a chatzi gris of one and a chatzi gris of another are mitztarif, and they're mitztarif under any and all circumstances, so that it doesn't matter at that point whether you've got two separate maros, as long as they're two separate maros of the avais, or they're two separate maros of an av and tolda didei. When we say lahazgir, so again, I'm taking the Lashon of the Mishnah as a given, the Girsa of the Lashon as a given, and therefore it's telling us like the Rambam. And Lahazgir, this means, Lahazgir ta omed b'sof shavua rishon. So then, doesn't it say that in the event that you come to the Kohen with a Mara of a Baheret, and it says over there, there's no Simen Tuma, because Sa'ara Lo hafach lavan, and then later on it says the same thing, that there's no michyas basar chai. So over there it says, v'izgir ha-kohen et ha-nega shivas yamim. That's called hezger. As explained to you earlier, Rashi's understanding of hezger is that it's hezger literally, of the person, he has to be locked up in the house. Others understand hezger, like the rush, which means that the nega is surrounded by a magic marker, which hezgers it, meaning it defines its place. And then if it spreads beyond the magic marker, we know that there was a pisayon. But there's no din of hezger of the actual person. Others understand the Rambam as saying hezger means that there's a state of hezger, but not a placement of hezger. So that is how some are masbir the Rambam's use of the lashon of hezger. The pashtus is that the Rambam is taking for granted like Rashi. But in any event, so when it comes to this, if it's at the end of the 7 days, what it says over there is, Hine hanega amad be'enav means that when it says amad be'enav, so according to the Rambam, that means amad be'enav in one of the arba maris. It does not mean it has to be amad be'enav in the same level of whiteness. So get that out of your head. Now, the simple meaning of those who understand the idea of tziruth as being referring only to the concept of being mitzaref, a chatzi gris and a chatzi gris. So then the meaning of the Mishnah simply is that if, when it says lahazgir, it's not simply that you've got the same color throughout the entire gris. You could have different colors in the gris, and that still would be considered one gris. That is a very limited interpretation of the Mishnah, not the way the Rambam interprets it. But anyway, if that's the case, we would now go for a hezger of another Shivas Yomi. And then, if it remains the same, so then it would pater et ha'omed b'sof savua sheni. So then at the second end of Hezger, v'ra'a ko'enoto b'yom ha'shvi'i shenit, and there it says, v'ineche ha'hanega v'lo pasa nega b'or v'tiaro ha'kohen. So what does it mean when it says, v'ineche ha'hanega? So Rashi understands that that means that the only time that v'tiaro ha'kohen will be im keha hanega. The Rambam argues on that and understands, as the Mishnah implies, that if something is omed and has no changes at the end of Shavua Sheni, then the default position is that he's tohar. And the im keha comes to tell me a completely different halacha, that at any time that the nega disappears because it's lower than any of the marot hanegaim, that at that point, he is able to be metayer him. It has nothing to do with the coloration. So what it's telling me over here is that let's say the mara changed to a different mara, and that first it was a baharet, and then it turns into a tzemer lava, or if it even turned into a baharet, but nonetheless, lo pasa hanega, the halacha is that the kohen is metaharot. And the only meaning of keha hanega is that the idea, according to Rashi, is that you cannot be metayrim without an actual keha. That's not what it means according to Rambam. It means that even if it would be keha hanega, it would have to wait until the end of this hezger, as long as it would still be. It has to be tested that there's no pisoya. Fine. Okay, so this is a very important machlokas. If there is pisoyan, so then he's machlid. Furthermore, lahachlit et shenona lo michya. Suppose now you have a michyat basar chai in the middle of a nega, which is partially one color and partially another color. That doesn't matter. You will be machlid him. Suppose you have a seyar lavan in a nega, which is partially one color and partially another color, and in total is only one gris, which are six sarot by six sarot, remember? That would be exactly the same to me. And I don't care when this occurs. I don't care whether it's batchila, when the kohen first looks at it, he sees there's seyar lavan, he sees there's a michya. I don't care whether the Seyar Levan and the Michya appears in different colors of a total of a gris at the end of Shavua Rishon. I don't care whether the Simonim appear at the end of the second Hezker without a Pisayon, and there's only one or the other of the either Seyar Levan or Michya. And I don't care for that matter whether the Mitzora had already gone back and had been declared to be Torah and gone through its Tyra, and now it comes back again. It's called the Achar Aptur. That is considered to be a immediate Simen Tuma, and therefore it will, La'achar Haptur, also be considered to be the same. Furthermore, if there's a Pisayon, but now remember, the Pisayon cannot be Bitchila, so we skip the word Batchila, meaning that if a Kohen is brought a Nega and the Nega is spreading right in front of his eyes, that's not considered to be a Pisayon, and it is not a Simen of Tuma. He must first be mazgir and then check the level of the pisayon at the end of 7 days, not what's going on. As opposed to Seyar Lavan and Michyat Basar Chai, which are instantly batchila, is considered to be a pisayon. In the case, considered to be a simen tuma. In the case of a pisayon, you can only be machlit a pisayon either besof shavua rishon or besof shavua sheni or leachar haptur, where all of a sudden the nega comes back and now it's broader, bigger than it was before. Furthermore, there is another thing that these different colors are mitzvah on. And that would be that when you had somebody who was not Tame, and now he turns Kulo Lavan, and he was already Tohar, then Kulo Lavan is Tame. But if he was Tame from a Nega, and now he turns entirely white, and being turned entirely white, he's made out of different colors of white, some of which, again, according to the Rambam, are any of the four colors, or according to the Ravid, are mixtures of the two avais, or the av and the tolda delay. So then he would become potter, and he would now be tahar, because he was hefech kula lavan, in a state where he was previously muhlat, but not tahar, or previously muzgar. But if we are first presented with a Kulo Yafach Lavan, either the first time we ever saw him, or the first time that he's come back after being Tohar, then Hafach Kulo Lavan is a Nega like any other Nega. It's only Hafach, it's only where it changed from that status of being Tohar, of being Tomei, to be Hafach Kulo Lavan. Another fascinating halacha. So this too would be true even if it's various Mar'ot, Elu Mar'ot Negaim, Shekol Negaim Tuluyim Behem. All of the Negaim of Or Habasar, as opposed to other Negaim, but all of the Maras that are Negea, the Basar of an Adam, basically are variations of this theme. They're either Chaluk, which means straight out white, or Patuch, which means they're mixed with the Adam Dam, which we'll be getting into more later.